sold the slots to some of us.
Yeah.
That might not be taken as.
Okay, I guess we'll get started. So first of all, an announcement. WebAssign problem set 8 has now been posted. They're fairly easy problems. They'll deal with calculating determinants. And then two applications of determinants that we'll discuss today. And then Friday, I'll begin to talk about eigenvectors and eigenvalues problems. But normally, I would give you a week to do a homework assignment, but the calculations that are in homework set 8 are sort of relevant for the rest of the semester. So I want to make sure you can calculate some determinants readily, say by Monday. And then, so that's that. What I'm going to do today is we've talked about determinants for several lectures now. One of the things I want to do today, the theme of today's lecture, is that we can replace row operations as a means of solving problems if we know determinants. Now, of course, what I showed you in the last couple lectures is that oftentimes we use row reduction to calculate determinants. But in fact, if that's probably the easiest way to calculate determinants by hand. But after you leave this course and your instructors or your boss allows you to use anything like a mathematical software program or computer or otherwise to calculate determinants, well, you can do that. And in fact, and so in that case, you completely avoid the row reduction process. So the things I talk about today are, I want you to think of determinants being completely independent of row reduction process, and in fact, giving you a formal replacement for that. The row reduction process is an algorithm from which you cannot see anything about the answer until you've actually worked your way through each step. Each step requires you to make another decision, which pivot to remove, which row to move around. And you don't really see the answer until you get to the very end. But when you express things in terms of the determinant, you can detect things, formal things about the answer, even before you proceed with the calculation. So as I go through the examples today, I'll try to point out some of those instances. Okay, so let me pause here a second here. Okay, so the first rule I'm going to give you, it's a formula that I won't prove, but it states very simply how to solve a square linear system, so long as the determinant of the coefficient matrix is not equal to zero. Okay, so here's the formula. Let's see if I can display it a little better. Let me move down. So if you have a general linear system, well, it has to be a square, same number of equations as you have variables. And in addition, what I'm going to require for this theorem to make sense is the determinant of the coefficient matrix is not equal to zero, because it appears in the formula in the denominator. So if this were equal to zero, this formula would not make sense. But given a square linear system where the coefficient matrix does have an inverse, then this formula makes perfect sense. And what it tells you is that the solution to such a system can be calculated just using determinants. The only mystery here is, what is this matrix BI? Well, the way we get the matrix BI, think of it as an auxiliary matrix we get from A using the input data, this vector on the right-hand side of the linear system. And all you do to create this matrix is you replace the ith column of A with the vector that appears on the right-hand side of the linear system. So what I've gotten written here is the ith column of this, but everything else in this matrix BI is exactly the same as A. So let me give you an example of how this is applied. Here's a 2x2 linear system. And so what we'll need to apply Cramer's rule, which I better keep up on the blackboard, so I refer to it. So Cramer's rule is that the components of a solution, so the solution of AX equals B has components XI equals determinant BI divided by determinant A. All right, so let's employ that rule for this example. So the first thing we need to do is look at the linear system and identify the coefficient matrix, the things that are multiplying the variables, and the numerical vector on the right-hand side, B. Let's go ahead and calculate the determinant of A. So that would be 2 times minus, this is a 2x2 matrix. So its determinant is usually calculated simply by taking the difference of the diagonal products. So 2 times minus 1, minus 1, and that ends up being negative 3. Now, to apply this rule, I can now start to actually calculate the solution. What I need to do is create those auxiliary matrices and calculate their determinants. So for this one, all I did was take this matrix A and use this as its first column. The second column stayed the same. We calculate its determinant, we get negative 3. For the second one, this index here refers to which column I'm going to replace. So here I replace the second column with the vector B, calculate its determinant, and this works out to be minus 6. And so now that's all we had to do. There's no row reduction at all, just calculating 3 determinants, and we're able to get the solution. Here's first variable, first component works out to be 1, second component works out to be 2. And so our answer, the values of x1 and x2 that satisfy the original linear system, are just x1 equals 1, x2 is equal to 2. And indeed, here's the original matrix A. Here's our solution vector. Let's multiply our coefficient matrix times the solution vector. It works out to be, to do that matrix multiplication, it's 4 minus 1, which is exactly the original vector that was on the right-hand side. Okay, so this method really works. And in fact, it not only works for 2x2 matrices, but it works for 3x3 and matrices of arbitrary size. The only thing you have to worry about is that this only works for square matrices, so n by n matrices with a the minus first existing. So where the coefficient matrix is actually invertible. But as long as those conditions hold, then the determinant technique or Cramer's rule is really easy to apply, and in fact, it's a very fast way to solve it. Particularly if you're using a computer to calculate these determinants, then it's really trivial. All right, so the next thing I want to talk about, the other utility of row reduction, was it allowed us to calculate the inverses of a matrix. But that calculation, again, involved extensive row reduction. The way we've to calculate A the minus first, our procedure using row reduction was to form the matrix A adjoined with the identity matrix, row reduced to its reduced row echelon form. And so suppose that reduced row echelon form is another augmented matrix where I have A prime adjoined with I prime. So the A prime, it refers to whatever happened to the left-hand side after we reduce this matrix all the way to reduced row echelon form. And the way the algorithm worked, if this A prime is identical to the identity matrix, then we knew the I prime would be exactly the inverse of A. And if A prime, A did not reduce to the identity matrix, then we know there was no inverse. But as we saw, I guess even already on the first exam, it often requires extensive row reduction to do this calculation. And row reduction, while simple enough to implement, is also pretty error prone. If you walk through my demonstrations on the blackboard, it's really easy to make errors. But what I'm going to present to you now is an alternative way of calculating the inverse of a matrix using only determinants. So the way this goes is I'm going to create, to a given matrix A, I'm going to attach a matrix that's formed from these, what we call cofactors. These cofactors appear already in the formula for the determinant in terms of those cofactor expansions. So recall that the determinant of an n by n matrix can be expressed as a sum, say, from j equals 1 to n of the ij entry times a sine factor I plus j, and then we have the determinant of an auxiliary matrix mij, where this matrix is the ijth minor of A, this matrix here, which is the matrix you obtain from A by removing its ith column and ith row and jth column. These numbers, minus 1 to the I plus j times the determinant of these corresponding minor, mij, this is called the ijth cofactor. All right, now there's another formula for the determinant. I might as well review real quickly. In this initial formula, what I did is I fixed a row index I, and then I sum over all the column indexes. But as we've been doing, this is the same thing as, instead of fixing a row index, we fix a column index, and we sum over the rows indexes. So this same thing is aij minus 1 to the I plus j times the determinant of mij. But notice in these two equivalent formulas, the only difference between them is in one, we fix the row index and sum over the columns. This is called an cofactor expansion along the ith row. And in the other formula, we fix the column index and we sum over the row indexes. And so this would be the cofactor expansion along the jth column. But what appears in both formulas in an identical fashion are these factors minus one to the sum of the row and column indexes times the determinant of the corresponding minors. These factors here are called cofactors. And what you get is from this formula is a number that you can attach to any entry of the matrix A. You basically determine by the position of an entry inside the matrix. So you choose a row index, a column index, you get a corresponding number. So for each entry of A, we have a particular number. And all we do to perform the cofactor matrix is we take these numbers computed in this fashion and we reinterpret these indices as, indices of a matrix. And call that matrix C. So the matrix A, from that matrix A, you can compute a total of n squared different numbers. You'll get one of these numbers for each choice of I and J, and those I and J are running between 1 and n. So you have a lot of numbers to compute, but if you have a fast way of computing determinants, these numbers will be pretty simple to compute. You can then use their associated row and column index to arrange these guys in a matrix. And then the statement I want is that I can get the entries of the inverse of the matrix A simply by, first of all, computing the determinant of A, and then using these numbers. But here's the important thing to note. This is not a typo. The entry in the ith row and jth column, the A the minus first, is a scalar factor. The determinant is just basically a number. But here, the row and column indexes are reversed. Now, because of this, the textbook and WebAssign states this theorem a little bit differently. Here, I'm sort of expressing everything in terms of these computable numbers. But the textbook takes a slower approach. You still form the same matrix C using those cofactors, where the entries of the cofactor matrix Cij is, here we have it, I'll write it here, C subscript ij is exactly this. You can still make a matrix out of it, but what I'll then do is I'll take the transpose of the matrix C that I create from that. That means converting the rows into the columns. I'll call the transpose of the matrix I create out of these numbers, I'll call that the adjunct matrix adjugate to A. And now we have, I don't have to write things in terms of components. The inverse of A is a scalar factor, 1 over the determinant A, times exactly the transpose of this matrix C, or the so-called adjugate of A. All right, now let me use this to show you a real nice formula. That's actually you can use quite often. Suppose I have a general 2x2 matrix. So A, B, C, D, you can think of these as arbitrary numbers. I'm going to use this cofactor matrix to figure out what A the minus first is. Well, let's get that formula up on the blackboard again so we can refer to it. I'm going to write it this way. A to the minus first is equal 1 over the determinant of A times this cofactor matrix transpose, where Cij, this matrix here, before we take the transpose, is just minus 1 to the I plus J times the determinant of the matrix I get from A by removing its ith row and column. All right. So let's apply this formula to this 2x2 matrix. And okay. So here's a matrix A, B, C, D. Let's start computing these cofactors. Okay, so the first cofactor in the first slot and first row, first column, I'm just replacing the I and J's with the numbers 1. And then that minor, you get that by, here's your entry. You delete the row and column that contains it. Since we started with a 2x2 matrix, we have just a single entry D in that minor. And so there's applying this formula. Here's our first element of the cofactor matrix. Second element, the C12 element refers to this 1-2 slot of A. This single element C is the minor, the 1-2 minor of A. And there's the sign factor, and the similar ones are computed like so. All right, so after I've computed all these numbers, I can arrange them in a matrix. In the 1-1 slot, I have D. In the 1-2 slot, I have minus C, et cetera. Now, this matrix is not quite the one we want. What we really need is the transpose of this matrix. So what we'll do is we'll take that first row and we'll write it as the first column. We'll take the second row, write it as the second column. That gives us the matrix adjugate to A. And now we have the ingredients of the formula, except we haven't computed the determinant of A yet. But that's pretty simple. The determinant of A is just going to be AD minus BC. So what you get is a nice closed formula for the inverse of a 2x2 matrix. Now what you can do, instead of doing row reduction to calculate the determinant of a 2x2 matrix, you can instead plug the entries into this formula and thereby calculate the determinant. So let me show you how quickly that goes. Suppose I had A equal 1, 2, 1, 1. And the determinant of this, A is going to equal, let's just say that this means A is equal to 1, B is equal to 2, C is equal to 1, D is equal to 1. And let's just apply this formula directly. A to the minus first is going to equal 1 over the determinant A, or 1 over AD minus BC. So that would be 1 over 1 times 1 minus B times C is 2. So that's going to be a factor of negative 1. And then that adjugate of A, that matrix turns out to be D is 1, minus 1, minus 2, minus 1, 1. Or simply, let's see, this will be an overall factor of minus 1. So it'll be minus 1, 2, 1, minus 1. So instead of using row reduction to calculate the inverse of this matrix, you get a nice closed formula where all you have to do is know the values of the entry. You can plug in this formula and directly you get the inverse of the matrix. All right, so that works really quickly. And as long as you don't have to use row reduction to calculate determinants, then you can completely avoid row reduction to solve both how to solve linear systems and how to find inverses of matrices. But in addition, it tells you something about the structure of, in this case, the structure of the inverse of a matrix. What you see is basically what's going to happen. Let's move back to the formula here, the original formula. Here it is. This is the one I like to use because you see more clearly what the structure of the inverse of a matrix is. So here I'm just listing the typical entry, the ij entry in this matrix. So how does that depend on the coefficients or the entries of the original matrix? Well, these guys are just essentially determinants. They're determinants of minors. So these guys are going to be polynomials in the entries of A, because this is just, this matrix M is created from A using the same entries of A. We just removed a row and a column. But this is just going to be, this is going to consist entirely of a subset of the entries of A. And when I take its determinant, I'm just going to get a polynomial in the entries of this matrix, which are also entries of A. So this factor here, it may be complicated, but it's still a polynomial function, which is a lot better than, say, an exponential function, a sine function, or some or a rational function that has singularities, et cetera. It's a very simple function. The complication, the places where the inverse is not necessarily a polynomial function of the entries of the original matrix, you have this one factor here where you have to go one over the determinant A. This guy is also a polynomial in the entries of A, but it's in the denominator. So in fact, the inverse of a matrix is, each of its entries is a rational function, a ratio of two polynomials consisting of the original matrix A. But there's one circumstance that makes things particularly easy. If you specialize the matrices whose determinant is equal to one, then the inverse is a pure polynomial. And that makes its analysis really simple, because polynomials are, linear functions are very easy. The next simplest function you consider might be a quadratic function or a cubic function, et cetera. They're relatively simple functions, easy to evaluate, easy to differentiate, easy to integrate, et cetera. So, hopefully what you can glean from this, if you ever had to, for example, integrate the entries of a matrix, well, the fact that they could be polynomial functions would make life very easy. So frequently, that's one of the main formal applications of this cofactor expansion formula for the determinant. Okay, so what I want to do to finish this discussion, what I've gotten to is I've calculated basically taking a matrix with variable entries, and I'm able to express its inverse in terms of the variable entries of the original matrix. On this next slide, I just confirm that in fact I really do this matrix here, computed by the cofactor expansion or the cofactor formula for the inverse of the matrix times A, that it really is an inverse, and you just do the matrix multiplication, and what will happen is the off diagonal terms end up canceling, so you get zeros, and then the entries along the diagonal are exactly canceled by this scalar factor A corresponding to the determinant of A. All right, so to finish today's lecture, I'm going to do two more examples, but now not dealing with simple 2x2 matrices, but more, maybe slightly larger 3x3 systems. Okay, so here's a 3x3 linear system Instead of labeling my variables x1, x2, x3, in this example, I'll just use x, y, and z as the underlying variables. So we still have, we can still grab the coefficient matrix. Just think of x as the first variable, y as the second variable, z as the third variable. Grab the coefficients, arrange them in a matrix, and grab the numbers on the right-hand side and create a column vector from that. Now, to solve this system, I'm going to use Cramer's rule. So what we have to do to apply that rule is, first of all, we have to compute the determinant of A. Well, let's look at that. Maybe we'll use a cofactor expansion along the third row to calculate the determinant of A. To do that, we would have 0 times a determinant of a minor that we're going to ignore because it's being multiplied by 0. Then we have the entry in the 3-1 slot. So we'll pick up a minus sign because this entry, if you sum its row and column index, it's going to be 4. It's going to be, let's see, it's third row, first column, second column. It's going to be 5. But minus 1 raised to an odd power is negative 1 raised to an odd power is negative 1. So that's the purpose of that minus sign. It's coming from the fact that when you add the row index and column index of the corresponding to this position, you get an odd number. And so you get a minus sign there. And then for this entry here, the minor is obtained by eliminating. So that's the entry we're looking at. We eliminate the row and column that contain that guy, and we're left with a matrix 1, 1, 1, 0. So that's the determinant we have to compute. But we also have an additional term in that third row. We have this 1 in the 3, 3 slot. So we're going to have 1. We're going to have a factor of, minus 1 to the 3 plus 3. This here had a factor of minus 1. I'll put the plus sign there, but we had a minus 1 to the 3 plus 2 because this entry was in the third row, second column. And that minus 1 to the odd power led to the minus sign. This minus 1 to an even power basically produces a factor of 1. And then we have that determinant to compute. And so it works out to be 4. Okay. To apply Cramer's rule, the components of the solution are determinant given by determinants divided by determinants, where the ith component of the solution vector is going to be the determinant of a matrix I create from A by replacing its ith column with that vector B. This vector B, I use that to replace a columns of A. So here they are. Keep A up. A is 1, minus 1, 1, 1, 2, 0, 0, 1, 0. 0, 1, 1, and B is equal to 6, 0, 2. All right, so let me keep that data up so you see what happened on the next slide. I need to create these matrices. That subscript here is going to tell you which column you replace. So when I replace the first column of A with this vector, I get this matrix. When I replace the second column of A with the same vector, I get that. And when I replace the third column of A with the vector B that appeared on the right-hand side of the original linear system, I get that. So let's go ahead and compute some determinants. This is good practice for us. So I'll step through this. All right. So let me raise that a little bit. All right. So let's look at this matrix. What would be a good way to compute the determinant of B1? I would suggest using a cofactor expansion along the second row, because it means I'm going to have only one auxiliary determinant to compute. So let's do that. We have 0, And on that minus sign, why did I put the minus sign here? Because this entry here is in the 2-1 position. 2 plus 1 adds up to an odd number. And that's where we take up the minus sign. Then we have 2. That explains that factor. We have a sign factor, but this is in the 2-2 slot. So the corresponding sign factor would be minus 1 raised to the power 4, which would just be 1. So I can ignore that. And then I have the corresponding minor. So I eliminate the second column, the second row, and I'm left with 6-1-2-1. All right, so there's the expression for the determinant of this matrix. All we really need to do is calculate the determinant of this 2x2 matrix. So that's 6 minus 2, which would be 4, but 4 times 2 is equal to 8. All right, and similarly, the second matrix B2. Here we again have a special row in the matrix that's going to make the cofactor formula for the determinant of B2 easy to compute. Let's just expand along the second row. We only have one determinant to compute, and so we get a sign factor. This is in the 2-1 slot. That 2 plus 1 adds up to 3, so that we get the sum of the row and column index is an odd number, so we pick up a minus sign. Then we have the entry of B2 in that 2-1 slot, and then we have the determinant of the minor we get by eliminating the row and column that contain this entry. So we're left with 6-1-1-2. And the last one, let's see. In the last of these auxiliary matrices, here we don't really have a special row that makes it trivial. I think the best I can do is do a cofactor expansion along the second row or maybe along the third row. But because I have two non-zero entries in those rows, I'm going to have to compute two determinants. So here I think it looks like what I did is I expanded along the third row. So we got 0 for the first contribution. This one is in the sum of its column and row index is 5. And so we'll pick up a minus sign. Then we have the entry and then the determinant of the corresponding minor. And then this last term corresponds to the cofactor associated with this entry here. That cofactor is essentially minus 1 to the 3 plus 3, which is going to be a factor of 1, times the determinant of the minor. And then it's being multiplied by 2 because that's the corresponding entry, and we get 12. Okay, good. So relatively easy to set up these matrices. For 3x3 matrices, their determinants are not that hard to compute. And now we get the solution to the system by the first variable, which we call x. Its value is going to be determined of the matrix we got by replacing the first column of A by the vector B on the right-hand side of the linear system. Plug in the numbers, you get 2. Similarly, Y, determined of the second auxiliary matrix divided by determinant of A is going to equal 1 minus 1. And Z, and the third variable is going to be the determinant of that third matrix divided by determinant of A, which is 4. And so very quickly, you get numerical answers just by applying that cofactor, Kramer rule formula. All right, so in fact, when a computer, a modern computer algebra system is actually solving square linear systems, in the background, the Kramer's rule is the most expedient way to do that. And so if you're just using Mathematica or Maple or something like this, and you ask it to solve a linear system, if it's a square linear system, it's usually applying Kramer's rule in the background to calculate those things, because it has the formulas. Any respectable mathematical software program, it's going to have the formula for the determinants up to matrices of arbitrary size, so they can compute those really rapidly. All right, so I'm going to do another example. I've shown you how to use the cofactor expression for the inverse of the matrix to calculate the inverse of a general 2x2 matrix. In this example, I'm going to start with an explicit 3x3 matrix. So instead of having variable entries, I have particular numbers. But what we'll do in this example is we'll calculate the adjugate matrix, and then we'll use that adjugate matrix to provide us with the inverse of the original matrix A. So what you have to do is, first of all, you have to begin computing all the cofactors for this matrix. So corresponding to the 1-1 slot, we have minus, the cofactor is minus 1 raised to the sum of the row and column index, and then you have the determinant of the corresponding minor. That minor is right there, right? You eliminate the row and column containing the 1-1 entry, you're left with that 2x2 matrix. And when you calculate the determinant of that 2x2 matrix, and multiply by its sign, you get minus 1. Similarly, the 1-2 entry is readily calculated, and the 1-3 entry is readily calculated. Now, the formula I want to use is this. And so I need, it's not that. The formula I want to use is that the inverse of A is equal to 1 over the determinant of A times the adjoint matrix Z of A. Let me write it C transpose, where C is in the ij slot is minus 1 to the I plus j times the determinant of the corresponding minor. Well, that's the cofactor. All right, so what I'm going to need in order to compute that inverse is I'm going to need all these cofactors to create this matrix, but I'm also going to need the determinant of A. But remember, the determinant of A can also be calculated using cofactors. So at this stage of the game, although I haven't computed all the cofactors of this matrix, I've only computed the ones that live in the first row, I can anyway use those cofactors to compute the determinant of A. But let's do that real quickly. In general, the determinant of A is I can pick a row, let's pick the first row, and then I move along the first row by changing the column index, and I pick up all these factors here, but each one of these is just a C1j. It's one of the cofactors that we just computed on the preceding slide. And so what we get is precisely this. We've got the entries of the original matrix, those we can read off off its definition, and then we've used the cofactors that we just completed on the preceding slide. And so we get one piece of the formula already, but we still have to create the rest of this cofactor matrix. So I'll have to compute the cofactors for the second row and the third row. So here's how those computations go. They go exactly the same as we did before. The 2-1 cofactor is, there's the entry. I eliminate it, and I need to take the determinant of this minor. That's the M12 minor, and there's a sign factor corresponding to this 2-1 position. Now you can go ahead and quickly calculate those things as well. And similarly, along the third row, you have cofactors as well, each computed in exactly the same way. You pick an entry, you get a sign factor, and you get a determinant of a matrix obtained by eliminating the row and column that you're looking at. And so once you've got all these numbers, notice that they're all indexed by two numbers. So you can think of this as a row index and a column index, and you can arrange those in a matrix. All right, now, You've got the matrix C computed, but the formula we need requires you to use the transpose of that matrix. So here's this matrix C I created. Now I'll take its transpose. So I'll take this first column, I'll write it as the first row. I'll take the second column, write it as the second row. Take the third column, write it as the third row. And now I've got everything computed. The matrix adjugate to A and the determinant of A have now been computed. And the determinant was just a factor of 2. And so when you multiply this matrix, you divide it by 2, you get exactly that matrix, and you're done. Okay, so that's about as far as I'd hoped to get today. So I think I'll just stop here. You'll get practice in applying Cramer's rule and these calculating these adjugate matrices and thereby calculating the inverse of matrices. Those calculations are covered on problem set 8. So do those, and then what we'll do starting on Friday, and it's going to occupy us for a couple of weeks, is the eigenvector eigenvalue problem. And so I'll pick up with those topics on Friday.